Yeah, so from Park Community, which canceled their service this morning because of the snow. Yesterday, we too made it out of the city just as the snow was coming down. So I'm looking forward to a few hours worth of shoveling, probably just to get back into our driveway when we get back. But things are going really well down there. So we were part of the core team on the church plant, City Vision. And it's been about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, we merged with an older church down there called Park Free. So changed the name of both churches to Park Community Church. And it's been going great. We just moved to two services about a month ago just because of the numbers. We just didn't have enough room for one service. So it's been a blessing. And that transition has gone smooth so far, although we're only about a month into it. So, but at Park Community, we've been going through the book of Hebrews together. So this morning I thought I would share some of the fruits of that we've been going to. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look at kind of the first half of that chapter. So I'll read it for us and then pray again as we get into the Word here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word. I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit this morning. Give me clarity. And just use me to proclaim your truth this morning and the reality of a new covenant, a new system that you established with Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I ask that you would bless us this morning as we look at your word. Amen. So the book of Hebrews is kind of far removed from us as modern Americans reading it. There's so many seemingly strange things in it about the old sacrificial system that the Jews had. So many things about priesthood and this weird character called Melchizedek, which is supposed to represent Jesus in some way. It's just a strange book to read through. But as we come to Hebrews 10, the author starts explaining the ending of that system and how Christ has made a new system and has prepared a way for the gospel. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So Hebrews 10, the first verse here says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. He's saying that this old system, they had throughout the year, they would have festivals during seasons of the harvest, during different times of the year. And we see these scattered throughout the whole Bible. A lot of the festivals that Jesus was taking part in, a lot of the parties that he went to, were during these festivals where they'd have sacrifices. And he's saying the Jewish system of sacrifices was never meant to be the permanent system. It was always a momentary thing. And his proof of that, his argument, is the next verse. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? It's a pretty compelling argument, because he says, if that was the permanent system, if animals could take care of our sin, why would they have to keep doing it? Because if you offered an animal as a sacrifice, your sins would be cleansed, and you wouldn't have to go back and do it year in, year out, repeatedly. So it's a pretty solid argument for the non-permanence of their sacrificial system. He goes on to explain the real purpose of this kind of shadow system that he says. Verses 3 and 4. But in these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. For it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The real purpose of that system was to give a reminder year in, year out, season after season, of the seriousness of sin. It would have been if you think about it, it was a pretty crazy experience. Okay? I mean, all the people gathering at the temple, bringing in bulls and goats, slaughtering them in front of everyone, blood all over. It would have been just an incredibly graphic scene that they would have to do year in, year out. And he's saying the purpose of this was to remind them of how severe sin was. But there's a new system. There's a better system that's coming in, as he explains verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Jesus comes and shows us a new and better system. He sets it up himself with himself. He tells us the same thing. The old system was never the true essence of what God wanted. He took no pleasure in that. The repeated killing of animals. That was never the permanent, long-lasting system. There was something new coming. And he goes on. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. This saying of Christ ends a long-lasting system. It was around for thousands of years. The Jews devoted their life to this system. And let's, for instance, say it wasn't done away with. How different our lives would be. If I wanted to approach God now, and we are still in this old system, first we'd have to ignore two things. First of all, we have to ignore that the temple is currently destroyed. There is no temple to go and offer sacrifices right now. And then secondly, we'd have to ignore that I am a Gentile. I'm not a Jew. So I would be way at the bottom of the list for getting in to offer a sacrifice. But I would have to get a plane ticket to go to Jerusalem to get to the temple. Once I get there, I would have to find and purchase a bull or a goat or a dove if I didn't have enough money. They had different systems set up. And this happened even in Jesus' time. We see him getting angry in the temple. Remember, he turns over all the money changers? What they were doing, they would set up exchange tables for people coming into town to buy animals for sacrifices. And they would charge crazy inflated prices. That was the system they had set up. And then I'd have to wait in line, probably at the back of the line, because I'm not Jewish, until it was my turn to get up. The priest would take my animal, slaughter it for my atonement, and then I would be done. I'd fly back home, and then I'd have to start prepping for next season to go back and do it again. It's a completely repetitive, non-permanent system. And Jesus comes and says, I'm going to set up a new system. I'm changing it. Verse 10, by that will, the will of God, Jesus acting out the will of God, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus comes and says, instead of animals being sacrificed, I will give myself, Christ, not animals, my body. He did it once. No longer a repetitive system year in, year out to remind us of our sins. It was a once for all. And for all, I mean, he brought everyone in, not just Jews, Gentiles. Every tribe and nation is a part of this new sacrifice. And it was once for all on the cross. This is an incredible change in the system. So it goes on in verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. It was a pretty labor-intensive job for these priests, just constantly doing these sacrifices. And he says that's another difference. The priests did it over and over and over again. Going back to his initial argument, there, if it was a once for all tangible thing, you wouldn't have to keep doing it again. In verse 12, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He did it once, and he was done. He sacrificed himself, and then he sat down. His job was finished. That's what he said on the cross. It is finished. It was a one-time thing, whereas the priests would have to do it over and over and over again. In verse 13, after he sat down, he's waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. He now, at this very moment, is seated at the right hand of God. And there he is interceding for you constantly to God. And the second thing is he is waiting for his enemies to become his footstool. No person deserves that more. I mean, I'm excited for that day. Because no human being has been more mistreated, more despised, more discriminated, and more betrayed than Jesus. And there will come a day where everyone will recognize it, and he will be vindicated. I am excited for that day. That's something we get to look forward to when he comes back, is his vindication and his being put back in his rightful place. So it goes on to explain another aspect of this new system that we live in. Verse 14, for by single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. This is a strange verse. And there's a lot of verses like this in the Bible. There's both past and a present and a future all happening at the same time. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It's a weird situation. There's a weird tension there. At this very moment, you are perfectly sinless before God. Yet, there's still a working out of that that happens in your life. But that working out depends on us realizing that we are perfect, which is a strange situation for us to live in. Our brokenness is fixed by realizing our position as perfect, which is strange. And I heard a story of a well-known pastor when he was little, and he lived in a small town, and his father was the pastor in this town. And this would have been back in the 50s, probably, when he was little. And he stole a candy bar or something from the local store and got caught. Okay, and the town policeman came out, picked him up, brought him down to the police office and called his dad and everything like that. And everyone knew this was the pastor's kid. They all knew who he was. And everyone he came in contact with kept saying to him, "Don't you realize who your father is?" And now, why were they saying that to him? They weren't saying that because they thought he forgot who his dad was. What they're actually saying is, "Don't you realize the position that you hold, that you need to live up to?" And in a sense, that's where we are as well. We need to ask ourselves every day, don't we realize who our Father is? Don't we realize what position we are at? We're perfect before God. Our sin is covered by that once-for-all offering. And out of that is how we need to live. Verses 15, he goes on, "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them,' after those days, declares the Lord, 'I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds.' Then he adds, 'I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more.'" This new system goes one step further. Not only are our sins now permanently covered by a once-for-all sacrifice through Christ, he then takes the Spirit of Christ, dwells inside of us, and writes a law on our hearts and helps us to live that out. And he closes with the final part of his argument in verse 18. "Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." This is an interesting verse as well, but here's what he's saying. He says, once there is a way for sin to be forgiven permanently, there is now no other way to offer sacrifices. There's only one way. And this has been pursued through tribal religions all over the world for thousands of years, constantly sacrificing animals, anything to try and gain atonement. And here he says, once there is that forgiveness of sins in Christ, once for all, there is no more offerings. The old system is done. It's a new sacrifice. And this is where we exist now today. The old system that was repetitive, insufficient, animal sacrifices, it never took care of sin permanently. But now, by God's will, Christ has given his body as a sacrifice once for all, and he has completely removed the stain of sin on your life right now. Before God, there is no sin in you. What a gift. I mean, this is the base and foundation of the gospel that we share. The forgiveness and covering of our sins through the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus' own body. He makes you perfectly holy before God. Not only that, he doesn't just sit down and end his job. He sits down at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for you every day, 24/7. And then he waits. He waits to come again and take his rightful place in the physical world as ruler of the universe. And in addition to that, he dwells you with his Spirit, teaches you his law, and helps you live your life. This is an incredible system. This is an amazingly great salvation. A new system set up that did away with an old system that was just a shadow, a dim shadow of what was to come. And it was simply a system to continually remind us of how severe our situation was. And now as we live, Christ covers our sins and dwells in us to help us live out that new system and share it with others. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you this morning for the way you have worked out your story for us. You spent thousands of years showing us this old system, the severity of our situation, year in, year out, slaughtering animals for us to see how severe our condition is. And Lord, at the right moment, you sent your Son to become that once for all sacrifice that finally took care of our situation. Lord, I ask that we would remember that. That we would not repeat that sacrifice day in, day out, but remember that one sacrifice day in, day out, and help us share it with others as you dwell in us and teach us your law and write it in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for this great salvation. And we lift up these things in your Son's name. Amen.